Today's daf in the second Beitzah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is Daf Dalet. So let me just bring you up to date, in case you didn't have a chance to review the dafim we've done in Masechet Beitzah over Shabbos. I hope that you were able to find some time, just in case not. Remember that we had in our Mishnah four separate ta'amim for why it is that a Beitzah Shenolda should be, turns out in the end, should be Osir. And that was, the beginning was Reb Nachman, and we were talking about the question about Muktzah and Neilat, and then it would be a difference between Shabbos and Yontav because of the difference of the Chumrah, that we need to be more Machmer Muktzah on Yontav than we are on Shabbat. And then we had Achana de Rabba, which is a tremendous Kiddush, which apparently is an actual D'oraisa. And then we had the Tam of Rabbi Yosef, that it's a gezerah because of perot that fall off of a tree, perot anoshri. And then we had Rabbi Yitzchak, that it's a problem of a similarity to peros that are leaking mashki. So that, well, those were the four approaches. Now the last thing that we learned was that since the Braisa says that if you have a suffix about a beitza, you'd have to be machmir, so we didn't understand how that would, those that hold that it's just this weird similarity to Mashkim Shesavu or to Perot Shenoshru. I mean, why would we be Machmer on a Suffolk or a Bonan like that? And we tried to say that according to them, the last part about a Suffolk Beitza is not referring really to the case that we just had. It's referring to a Suffolk about another Beitza that's Osir. And mainly, that was a question of a beitza that was from a bird that was later found out to be a treifa, and now I have a suffix whether this was the beitza that came from that bird or not. Now, that led us to a problem. What was the problem? That since it says in the braisa, I'm sorry for needing to reconstruct this, we're holding right smack bang in the middle. So the problem was that since in that braisa, it says that even where this egg falls into another thousand eggs, that for some reason it's going to be usher, we could not understand why it would be usher. You see, if we were talking about the question of a beitza shenolda b'yomtov, then it makes sense that yes, it would be usher because there would be an issue of davar she'yesh lo matirin. But if you're talking about it could be used afterwards, so then if it could be used afterwards, if it's a d'oraisa, so then I understand there's no way it will be bottled. So that worked out with the Svara of Achanah. But if you're telling me now that it's talking about a treifa is not going to become mutter at any time later. A treifa is going to remain osir. So why in the world would it be prohibited if it mixes with other things? Everything is batel berov, unless you hold that a beitza is somehow chasher. Now that became dependent in the machlokas about whether we hold et shadarka limanot or kol shadarka limanot. And then it would be dependent in the machlokas. We'll just we were asking, what about according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that only things that are etchedarka limanot are always counted? Those would be osir, and that's how he understood Rabbi Meir. And beitzim are not always counted. And the last thing that we learned was three lines up on the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, just to remind you that we did this before, that we're going according to another Tana. And who was the Tana? Four lines up, sorry. Tana de Litra Ktsias. And he said, Litra Ktsias says anything that is even sometimes sold by number, like eggs, would be considered to be a Dover Chashev, it wouldn't be Bato. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have a problem, because Rabbi Yochanan was only explaining the sheet of Rabbi Meir. But over here, we're talking about this new Tana. Where do we see this new Tana? That's where we're in the middle of. So we see this new Tana from the Mishnah that discusses the mixture of two truma figs into fig cakes. Now, in order to make the fig cakes, you need to press them into these molds, or into barrels, or into kaverets, or different shaped molds. And the question over here is, you don't remember which was the mold that you put the pressed figs that were truma pressed figs into. So now the question is, oh, now what's going to be? Is this going to be usher for anybody except Barnea? That's why he's pushing for this stuff in this way. And that's the question. Can just regular people eat it, you know? So the question over there was, let's just review this again. So Litra Katsios, and this is like a little bit complex. We didn't get to the end. Until we get to the point in which we see who this Mandi Amar is, it's going to take us a couple of minutes tonight, but we're going to identify that person very soon. So it says in the Mishnah that a litra of ketziot, these are these dried out figs that you then pressed into either the ego mold, and he doesn't know which one, or maybe into a barrel mold, or salpi chavit, in your debezi chavit, or maybe a kaveret. Remember the kaveret was shaped like a beehive, it's a basket kind of thing. Veina yodea beizu kaveret darsa. So we have a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about what the machlokes was between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. And here's where we're finally going to get to this Mandi Amar. So Rabbi Meir says that the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua goes as follows. Rabbi Eliezer says, look, since we're talking over here anyway about figs, and figs are only chayev in Truma Midrabbana, because Midiraisa you're only chayev in the produce of either, of course, the grain or the wine or the oil, as it says in the Torah. So this is the Dagan Tirosh V'Yitzar. So this is a Gzera D'Rabbanan. D'Rabbanan expanded the Dinim of Truma, and they said take off Truma from figs. So because of that, we're going to be very makeup. And what we'll do is we'll say, okay, what'd you do? You pressed in like 100 dried figs on the top, and now you've got the top of one of your molds that has got basically a slice of this stuff. It's sold by slices, and that's the litra that you put in. You know what? We're going to view all of the different pieces of the slices. Let's say there's 30 slices in a barrel. Okay, so if you've got 4 barrels, you've already got 120 slices, right? But you only need 100 times more, 100 slices, to be mavato the one slice that you put in. So if I make one, you could be mavato it. And since you are the one who owns all of this stuff and you're bringing the question to bear, this is the Rishonim speak out, it's a very important yesod, that you don't really have a mixture over here of 1 into 300 or 100, right? So I understand. I mean, 1 barrel only holds 30 slices, let's say. We're going to incorporate all of these barrels to give you 100 to 1 to be marked to the truma, but they aren't really mixed. So some of the Rishonim speak out clearly that the issue over here in the Tarovis is defined by the presenter of the Shaila. So since he doesn't know which one it's in, ultimately, what's the question? Which of these 120 different slices is truma? Which that's called bitul. Some of the Achronim, I don't know whether they didn't see these Rishonim, but think that it's talking about, or claim that it's talking about, I think the Maram Shif even suggests this, it's talking about that afterwards you mix them all together. But that certainly is not the way that the Gemara was taken throughout the years. Okay, so then you can even use the bottom layers of the slices to be mala at the upper slices. Rabbi Yehoshua says, no, you can't do that. But let's say you've got 100 tops of molds, it's got 100 barrels, or whatever it is you're using. So then, even though they're not all mixed together, you can use the 100 to be mavato the 1. And the bottoms, they're not a problem. The problems are the bottoms for sure are kosher, because we know you didn't mix in the bottom. So, im yesha mea pumim yalu vim lava pumim asurim vashalayim mutari. So far, this does not address what we're looking for. We're looking for a Tana that holds that anything that is sometimes sold b'minyan, like a slice of this stuff, is never going to be bought. Now, we have not found who that is. Now we will. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Rabbi Meir's approach to the machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua is wrong. And the actual approach is like this, that Rabbi Yehuda said that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we start with the more chomer thing. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if you've got 100 tops, fine, then you've got 100 connected one. That's okay. But if you don't have 100 tops, then the tops are usser, and the bottoms are mutter. Okay, fine. So we just sort of switched them on Yom, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But here's where we get to our new sheet. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't give a hang if you got 300 tops. You cannot be mavato a litra kitsiyas of truma. Why not? Because these slices are sold by the slice, sometimes. So sometimes you walk into a pizzuzzeria or whatever they call them, you know, and you want to have a litra ketzias. So they'll say, okay, we will cut you a litra ketzias. We sell them by the piece. If you're buying one slice, that'll be 10 shekel. So then they can't be batel. But what do you mean? You hardly ever buy it like that. I don't care. This is anything called davar shebeminyan, anything that would be included. So if there is such a Tana, who is that Tana? Rabbi Yeshua, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. So then Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have a problem because he could say that it was going according to that Tana. Now there's another case, once we're already onto it, I mean, we're finishing it up. If you pressed it into an eagle, except you don't know which eagle, then everybody says, then for sure, everything is included in the count. Says, well, that's ridiculous. What do you mean, everybody? That's what we're arguing about. Says, well, Papa, obviously, I mean, it means to change the case on you, right? What's the case? What it's saying is like this, if you pressed it somewhere into an eagle is what it means. You don't know where in the eagle. It's not as if like it's sitting there on the top. You know, wherever you found a little room, you stuffed in some ketzios. You know, you don't know whether it's the north side, the south side. I don't know. So any odeya be'eza igul derasa, whether it's the tzvona, the droma. So then everybody agrees that it's yavo because it's not identifiable. So it's not identifiable. Of course it's going to be bata. Now, getting back to the original point that we had, which was how do Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak understand that a suffix should be usher if it's only a gzera derabbanan and a far-fetched gzera at that, that it's included under mashkin shezavu and perot shenoshu? The truth is, says Rav Ashi, what's your problem? Why did you have to conclude that this was going on a suffix trefa? I mean, that is also so far-fetched. All of a sudden, we're changing in gears in the middle. We've been talking about a suffix, a beitzah, shenol, debiyantav, and now we're talking about a suffix trefa? Come off it. I'll go back to the original pshat, like anybody would read. It's talking about suffix yantav. It's talking about suffix chol. But your idea that a davar sheyesh lo matirin is never mutter, you think that that's true only about a diraisa, and therefore you were able to use it as the svara for davar sheyesh lo matirin. If we're talking about a beitza suffix trefa, if we're talking about a suffix rabbanan, why would davar sheyesh lo matirin matter? Well, I got news for you. It does. Absolutely it does. Have a davar sheyesh lo matirin, even though it's a rabbanan, the chol davar sheyesh lo matirin, even though it's a drabbanan, is not going to be batel. So you, all of this discussion is, what a waste of time. It's moot. It's obvious once you understood yourself that there's an issue of davar sheyesh lo matirin, it applies equally to a drabbanan and a diraisa. And therefore, there was no problem bechlal. We're not being machmer on a suffix drabbanan, we're being machmer on a davar sheyesh lo matirin, which is an entirely different point. That's the issue. Tanya. Okay, so now we want to see, we now have basically four different explanations of the machlokas here about Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and we have a braita that seems to take Beit Shammai lahaloch. Tanya achirim omrim, mishum Reb Eliezer. What is all of this jazz about eggs? Come on. Beit Sa, eat the egg with its mother, for heaven's sakes. What is your problem, Bechlal? What do you mean, eat the egg with its mother? But my askina, are we talking about a tarnagolat or medet lachila? I mean, that was the question we had here all along, right? Are we talking about something that was allowed to be eaten? So then, well, obviously, there's no mukta if Reb Eliezer, b'chlal, he's a Talmud of Beit Shammai. So, okay, that doesn't bother us that he's being mekel. If we're taking into consideration, if you're talking about the mother, so then that was our problem with Reb Nachman, right? About mukta. If you're talking about mukta, why don't you talk about the mother? So he does talk about the mother. Okay, fine. So then that means that Reb Eliezer, who also holds mukta, as we're going to see, then if that's the case, he goes according to Reb Yehuda. So then how is he explaining the case here in the Braita? We're talking about a Tarnagola that was meant to be eaten during Yontif? Well, obviously, then, if you're being mad to the egg, you're being mad to the mother. I mean, wasn't that the whole point? That's what we're asking. Why are we talking about eggs, Bechlal? Ela betarnagola domedet begadol betzim? But, I mean, and if you're talking about, no, you're saying, no, that's a skittish, that even if it's ermi begadol betzim, that's ridiculous. Because he gufa holzak Reb Yehuda, and he the ima would be asura. What would possibly be the point of saying this lashon of, oh, forget about the egg, you can even eat the mother. Obviously you can eat the mother. Amar Rabbi Zera, tell you what it means. It means you can eat the egg with its mother, but you can't eat the egg all on its own. How is that? Very simple. De'achel agav ima, says Rabbi Zeira. Echidami, says Abaya, the case is very simple. You did not say what it is that you're buying this chicken for. Okay, so you buy the chicken, and you did not, it was lakhasta. So then, if you ended up shechting the mother, so then that actually shows us that, you see, it ended up being shechted, which basically defines this as an egg that is meant to be, I mean, a mother that's meant to be eaten, in which case there was no muktzah. So then it was ruvera de l'achila omedes. If in the end it wasn't shechted on yantav, so now it's clear that it was a gado beitzim omedes, it's fine. So therefore, the Brisa is just saying that we can explain the status of something in terms of its ultimate dispensation. That's all it's saying. Rav Mari says, no, you're taking this way too seriously. What do you mean you can eat it and it's mommy? Of course you can eat it and it's mommy. He's just saying, why is everybody making such a big deal about these eggs? Since I'm a Talmud of Beit Shammai, eat the egg and its mother, go to town and have fun. That's all he's saying. It's Loshen Guzma. Come off it, guys. What, do we need to limit ourselves to egg salad? I mean, you might as well have some schnitzel. That's all he's saying. So he's just getting around, basically. It's like a Guzma. So, I'll show you, by the way, that Reb Eliezer actually talks like that. Because you take a look at another braisa about Reb Eliezer. So we have over there, Acher Momer Mishum Reb Eliezer, that you can eat an egg that was laid on Yantiv, the egg and its mommy, now dig this, and the chick and its shell. Eat the chick and its shell? Well, what are you talking about? You mean literally? You eat the chick while it's in the shell? You mean it hasn't hatched yet? I mean, you can't eat the shell. I mean, who's going to eat a shell? It's not Roy Lachila. So what are we talking about? Ilema klipa mamash. We're saying, go and eat the shell. I mean, that's not edible. Ella, what you're talking about is efroach biklipato. What you're saying is that you can eat the efroach while it's in its shell. Excuse me. You cannot actually do that because ad kan lo pligir abodin alei de Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov. Ella hecha de yatzla avira olam. We do have a machlokas about whether it's considered to be an iser to eat a hatched chicken. Fine, if it's just a newborn chick, it hasn't opened its eyes yet, so that it's still considered to be like a sheretz that's being shoretz, it doesn't go around. Okay, so there we have a machlokas, but if it wasn't yotzla avira olam, nobody holds that. Even the rabbanon who argue with Reb Eliezer ben Yaakov holds you can't eat a chick. So it can't mean eat it while it's unhatched. That's crazy. So what does it mean? Therefore, you see, he's kidding around. He's saying, look, you're allowed to eat an afroach. Eat the egg and eat the shell with it if you want. That's all he's saying. It clearly doesn't mean literally that you can't eat it. So as long as it's hatched, it's okay. So hachanami te'achel hi ve'ima means a guzma. That's all that it is. Okay. Itma. Now, what about, so now we've got this issue. What is the din of a beitza on Shabbat? What is the din of a beitza on Yom Tov? What is the din of a beitza fundamentally where it was a shiyantav that fell out on a Sunday and that's how the whole thing came out originally, right? But now, once we've already taken that original equation, that we've taken the beitza the way we understood, the idea of a chodah d'rab. So we said, okay, we're going to have to make a gezerah on a normal yantav, because otherwise people will eat it even if it comes out on the day after Shabbos. What's the din if the beitza itself was actually laid on Shabbos and the next day is yantav? So, and now the question is, I understand I can't eat it on Shabbos because you said I can't eat it on a normal Shabbos, right? But in this case, basically, am I actually going to aser it now on the second day of this pair? Because if it was, let's say, Shabbos and Yontav, in that order, or Yontav and Shabbos, wouldn't matter, would be the same thing. So Rav says, well, I don't care. Even if the egg was laid on day one, whatever that was, Shabbos or Yontav, it's going to be aser on the second day. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, if it was Noldo Bezeh, it's Muteret Bezeh. So, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, obviously. Why wouldn't it be? Rabbi Yochanan says the Mishnah only said that an egg is usher on the day that it was laid. I mean, where do we get off saying that it should be usher on the next day? So unless, now it's possible that what he holds is because since Shabbos and Yontif are one after the other, we look at it as one long day because there's no time in between in which we drop the Kedushas Hayom. So maybe that's the point, that Rav holds Shabbos and Yontif, or Yontif and Shabbos, is a long single Kedusha. But we know that he does not hold that, and it can't be, therefore, because that it's because it's one long time, because this issue comes up b'nogeya Erevin. Remember, we had this problem back in Erevin. Suppose you have a Yontif after a Shabbos, or a Shabbos after a Yontif. Can you make different Eruvim for the different days? So that now you should be allowed to go to the west on one day and to the east on another day. So Rav Gufa is the one who paskins like they are, Ba'azi Kenim, who actually says, this was over there, we had the whole circumstance of Shimon ben Gamliel, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Baruch, and Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon. So they said that it's not considered to be a one long day. Okay, so then if Rav says that, then how can he here claim that it's also on the second day? Over there, he's saying it's all going a little bit of Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer has also the 2 days are two completely different conditions. You can go ahead and do one Erev on day one and another Erev on day two. So what would be the possibility of why Rav would say that it's also on the second day? There's only one possibility. And that would be because of Hachana de Rabba. And the issue over here is not because of any of the other questions that answered it because of Muktzah. It's just that Rav holds of Achana de Rabba. And since he holds of Achana de Rabba, so then, yeah, so then what? So who cares? But it wasn't born late. It wasn't late the second day. It was late the first day. So who cares if you hold Achana de Rabba? So why after Shabbos is the next day usher if we said the whole point of Achana de Rabba is that the egg is prepared the day before the day that it's laid? But the day before the day that it's laid is a Friday, or it was a Yom Chol. So why would it remain usher on the second day? Why in the heck is the Gemara assuming that therefore that's a solution? I mean, it seems to make things worse, not better, right? Tosfos has got a brilliant solution to this. He says, look, if the egg actually would have been laid on the second day, so then it would have been usher, right? And if we would now say, well, but since it was laid on Shabbos, now it's mutter, then Shabbos would have been preparing for Yontif by laying an egg that's now mutter. You can't win, right? That's Tosfos' second hilarious approach. This is quite brilliant. But the very fact that now I'd be able to eat the beitzah that was nolded the day before means thank God it was Shabbos yesterday. I wouldn't be able to eat it if it was today. Right? Okay, very, very cute svara. And the other svara that Tosfos has is more of a balabatisha point. And there's the hachon of an egg is not only the fact that you've deposited the last, you know, layers of cells and so on that allow it to be born. The achana of the egg, certainly the birth itself is achana, wouldn't you say? So because of that, it's an extended whole thing is achana. Okay, fine. But anyway, that would explain why in the world we would say that it should be usher on the second day, because of achana de Rabba would extend the issur, whereas Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold, as we said earlier, the meaning of doesn't hold has a lot of different levels, but doesn't hold of achana de Rabba in this sense. Now, the machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan seems to be a machlokas tanoim, because the Braita says, Nolda b'Shabbat te'achel b'Yom Tov. Nolda b'Yom Tov te'achel b'Shabbat. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shum Rabbi Eliezer, the machlokas in the Mishnah between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is still ongoing, not only if it's on the same day, Beit Shinolda b'Yom Tov, but on the second day. And therefore, Beit Shammai would have said it is edible, and Beit Hillel would have said it's not edible, even though it's the second day. So whatever that machlokas is, it applies in both cases. Okay? Now, Ushpazichne, the Rav Bar Abba, have a Leander Beit Shammai to the Shabbos. So Rav Bar Abba's, Balabhasa used to stay by. So he comes to Ravada Barhava with these eggs that he had that were laid on Yantav, and he wanted to use the bachapas, but he doesn't want to eat raw eggs. He wants to make egg salad on Yantav for Shabbos. So he tells Rav, look, I understand I can't eat them today, but can I make egg salad and eat them tomorrow? So Rav was like, Ravada Barhava was like a little confused. I mean, why in the world would you think that? He asked, my Latvino eatna, can I roast them today and eat them tomorrow? He says, oh, my leg, what's your, like, Kavamino over here? I mean, I'm assuming that you figure that in the machlokas of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, that we usually paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, right? So if we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, so then it's mutter on the second day. So then Shabbos after Yantav is mutter. But that was only mutter to drink the raw egg. Now, if you're not into Gogol Moguls, forget it. Because you certainly cannot go ahead and cook the egg today. You're not allowed to handle the egg today, what you said before. Afilo Rabbi Yochanan l'kashari l'goma l'machar, he didn't say you can eat it today, and you can't even handle it today. So there's nothing you can do with it, that's for sure. And there's a braita that says that. V'atanya, indeed it says in the braita, echat beitza shenolda b'shabbat, echat beitza shenolda b'yom tov, you can't handle it, and it's a mistake. We mentioned this in the Mishnah, actually, how to understand the Mishnah. We talked there about Tosfos, about why we focus on the Achila, if it's really including handling as well, which we see from this Braita. And here it says, you're not allowed to use it, and we talked about this earlier, about our favorite use of eggs for supporting beds. So, so we already said, you cannot use it. So there was not even a hava meaning. There was another story that was similar, which was Rav Papa's Ushpazichle. Some say it wasn't really his Ushpazichle, which tried to make the two stories sound similar. But in reality, it was just a guy. So some guy came over to Rav Papa, and he had some beitzim. This was the opposite case. These beitzim had been laid on Shabbat, and now he wanted to use them on Yom Tov. So he's asked, am I allowed to eat them? Which was straight out the question. In other words, is the halacha like Rav or is the halacha like Rabbi Yochanan? So there's nothing confusing about this question. For some reason, Rav Papa said to him, come back tomorrow. I'm not into eggs today. Why was that? Because, why did Rav Papa not want to answer him? Because Rav was known that when he gave a drosha, he was careful not to give a drasha where he would always give piskei halachas in the drasha. He would have an amira saying over during these drashas. He would not, if it was yomtiv, he would not allow himself to give a drasha that was negel halacha until 24 hours had passed. It was the next day. Why? Because he got a little bit high. And since he had had enough to give him a din of shichrut, and it says, remember in the pasuk, it says, ula harot et b'nei Yisrael, right, so Yayin v'shechar al tesht. So okay, but Pasha is referring to going into the Beis Hamikdash, but then it says ulo horat. So we learn out from there. If you're going to give a horat, you cannot be high. So, and sure enough, the guy comes back the next day and he says, "Whoo! It's a miracle! I told you to come back. At least I was still had brains on. It wasn't addled." So, Barney like that one. Addled eggs. Yeah, good. Okay, so. I need my stamp of approval. So
we are very loyal to Rebbe. We would never make eggs Benedict. Benedict Arnold.
Oh no. What have I done?
Oh, the yolk's on you, Bernard.
Anyway, it's a good thing that I told you to come back today. Because Eku Hashta Ishtalai, if it wouldn't have been that we did that. So I would have actually told you the wrong thing. I would have forgotten what I now remember. I would have said to you, well, you know, the general rule is that Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Halachic Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore it's okay. But thank heavens I didn't tell you that, because now I remember that actually Rav has said that there's three places that we paskin like Rav, and these are the three places that we are about to learn now, and they all concern the question of a beitza shenolda. This is unbelievable. All of the inyanim, I warned you, we're just starting with this beitza shenolda. All of the different dinim of Yom Tov Sheni, of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, everything comes out from this beitza shenolda. So there were three things that Rav said, that we paskin like Rav, even against Rabbi Yochanan, and that was whether Rav was going with Chomra, as he does in two of these cases, whether it's going with Kula, as he does in one of these cases, and here's what the cases are. So Omar Rabbi Yochanan, before we get to our details, Rabbi Yochanan said, just to make it clear to you that not all cases are the same. I mean, let me talk to you about a case of branches that fell off of a tree on Shabbos. Now, Yontif comes out after Shabbos. Can you use those branches for fuel on the next day? Okay, now I know you're thinking, well, okay, that's the question of Beitza. You yourself, Rabbi Yochanan, you said that the next day it's mutter, and the branches that fall down are mutter. I mean, it was Rabbi Yochanan who said that the whole issue of the Beitza was similar to the Mayim Shezavu or Perish Anashu, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so it should be fine, right? And yet, Rabbi Yochanan surprisingly says that in the case of branches of a tree that fell down on Shabbos, you cannot be masik them on Yom Tov. And don't start up with me, says Rabbi Yochanan. What are you going to do? You're going to start saying, but you said a Beitza was mutter. It's a big difference. It's a difference. Same issue. Big difference. Because the Beitza that was laid on Shabbos, could I have used it raw or not? If it wouldn't have been for the Gezerah, yes, right? I mean, it wouldn't have been an Isra on Shabbos to swallow it. It's just, I couldn't cook it. And nonetheless, we don't allow anybody to swallow it. Okay, so then people know, based on my psak, I'm telling them they can eat it today, but they know that they couldn't eat it yesterday. And they think to themselves, gosh, why couldn't we eat it yesterday? My mommy always tells me to take a gogel mogel when I have a sore throat, so why couldn't I have it? Oh, must be that a Beitza Shenold on Shabbos is Asr. So they're not going to forget about Beitza Shenold on Shabbos, right? But what happens if branches fall down? And those branches are useless. What are you going to do with them on Shabbos? Are you allowed to make a fire on Shabbos? No. So they're lo chazur liyomayo. So people will say, well, of course I couldn't use them yesterday. Can't make a fire on Shabbos. But I could use them today. Uh-huh. So then if the branches would have fallen today for Yontif, it would have been mutter. But it wouldn't have been mutter, because that would have been similar to Perosh and Ashru. And that would have been basically equivalent to the muktzes that we had. So etmo mishum Shabbos to the lo chazal atzar. Of course we couldn't use it yesterday because it was Shabbos. You can't make a fire on Shabbos. What, are you stupid? You think I thought we could use it on Shabbos? But on a Yontif, it would have been fine. So because of that, I say, if it falls on Shabbos, you can't even use it the next day on Yom Tov, because otherwise people will not realize that it's Muktzah as a Neulah today because it fell off of a tree. Omer Masak, tell you something, by the way, about that. Imagine a case where the branches fall directly into your oven. Okay, so they fall off of a palm tree and they just fall directly into the very oven that you wanted to make a stew on Yom Tov. So now, is there any way to use those branches? Yes, there is. Bring more branches that you had from your pile of branches that you had been making before Yom Tov, and be marvelous. You now have a rove of muchan etzim that are not muktza, and then you can burn them because you go according to the rove. But you're going to be poking at them. You're going to be moving them. I mean, how can you do that? Aren't you going to be moving mukta? You are. But given the ruba de teraninu, since most of it is rov of it is not mukta, so kikamahapik, but terakamahapik. So basically, he's only moving now that which is mukta. But you said you can do this l'chatchila. You can go to your wood pile and you can add wood. But that is always also. That would be like saying, well, you know, if some milk fell into the meat, you know, just add more meat and be mevatel. But that's called mevatel v'silachatchila. Then you're not allowed to do that. V'ka mevatel v'silachatchila. And it's a perish of Mishnah. You can't do that. Ein mevatel v'silachatchila. That's the Mishnah in Truma. So it talks over there about a saw of Truma that fell into 99. You can't add one more saw to make it 100 to 1. So how come over here you're allowing us to do it? That's because if you're dealing with a diraisa, true, you can't do that l'chatchila. But over here, we're not dealing with a diraisa, we're dealing with a rabbanan. The whole thing is a gzeira muktzah. So because of that, you're even allowed to be marba etzim that aren't muktzah. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Rav Ashi say before Remember Ravashi's teretz about how the brisa works out according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak. So he said that if it's a davar sheyesh lo matirin, that then it affects even a drabonin, right? Well, I mean, if that's true about mixtures, it should be true about suffix in general, because a mixture basically is a type of suffix. So you're saying instead of eating it without being able to clearly identify what's mutter and what's usser, wait until tomorrow and it'll be mutter. Okay, so the same thing is true about an isser drabonin. If the only isser now that you have this question of whether it was batal or not is a drabonin, so then what would give you the right to be mevatel lechatchila? Wait. Just wait. Tomorrow you'll be able to eat it fine. So according to him, who says davar sheyesh lo matirin is usher even in the rabbanan lo batel, so then how are you allowed to go ahead since tomorrow will be butter? Wait till tomorrow. Yeah, but still, it's a big difference. You know why? Because when you burn something, remember we had this svara many times. We're talking about back in Shabbos. When you burn something, it only, we had it actually in our Mishnayos as well, it only generates the heat after it's already been carbonized. So because of that, hacha mikla kola yisura. So over there, the truma is right there. And now you're going to be adding chula to be mevato, right? You can't do that. But if the isser is not present at the time that you're going to be nenet from it, so then there's no isser of being mevato lechatchila. Okay, so now this, we had one case, Shabbos after Yontev, Yontev after Shabbos, and we said that, well, in that case, we paskin like Rav against Rabbi Yochanan. You said there were three cases. What are the other two cases? Well, here's the next case, Itma. Shnei yomim tavim shel goyos. Okay, how do we look at, I understand, we're going to paskin like Rav, and he says that when you have the 2 days of Shabbos and Yontev, over there, we're going to paskin the chumra, like Ra. But what about the Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Goliyos? So you have day one of Yontev, an egg is laid. Day two of Yontev, can you eat the egg or not? Now there, Rav was the one who says that it's mutter. That nolda bezeh, muteret bezeh. There is no problem of eating it on the second day. And over there, Rav Asi said, Nolda bezetz asura bezet. Now, why does Rav Asi say that? Does Rav Asi hold that the 2 days of Yontif in Chutzlart are considered to be one long day? And therefore, whatever the Yisr would be on day one would be the Yisr on day two. Now, Rabbo say, I know that there's not one guy here that is not worried about Tosfos Hakash. Tosfos Hakash is obvious. We just finished in learning in Sukkah that the decorations of your sukkah are muktzah on the day after sukkahs, because holy katzoy leben hashmashas is katzoy lekulei yuma, right? So why do we have to say the reason that it would be also the second day is because it's one long day? It's not because it's one long day. It's because since when you get to ben hashmashas, so now it's usher because it might still be the first day, so then there never was a period in which it became mutter. So then it was iskatsoy lekulei yuma. So Tosfos has a marvelous explanation of this. Tosfos says, hov iskatsoy leben hashmashas is never a svara about something that was iskatsoy because of the previous day. Iskatsoy leben hashmashas is because it was usher for this day. Aye, what about the sukkah? The sukkah wasn't the decoration. The sukkah were usher on Shmini Atzeres. Ah, sisters. That's why the Gemara over there explains that the real issue is, and what about if somebody comes as a guest and it's right before Shkia and you need to sit down in the sukkah? That's the point. So there is Katsoyla mitzvah is unique because the mitzvah might indeed apply the next day. But if it's just plain old-fashioned muktzah from the previous day, there's no din of asik, something that was muktzah on day one, on day two, just because you were mesubik ben hashmashas, pow. So this becomes a very important gemara. By the way, you'll notice that all of these sugyas are like so fundamental, b'chlau, in all of the dinim of you, how to be mevatel things, how to deal with the suffix. I mean, it's really quite amazing whether you make a gezera l'gezera, you don't make a gezera l'gezera. All of this comes up in the context of the interrelationships of Shabbos and Yontav and the various chumras. Halo davaru. Okay, so that's something that we need to address. Anyway, so therefore the Gemara says, okay, now that I know Tosfos, I understand what the Gemara says, so then apparently the only reason that could possibly justify Rabasi is because he holds that 2 days of Yom Tov are like 1 day. It's all long Kedusha Achas. But that's ridiculous, because the one thing that Rav Asi himself used to do that nobody else did, he used to say Havdalah at the end of the first day of Yom Tov. So how can you, when you live in the Chutz Laaretz, so he said, today's not really Yom Tov. So he went ahead and he gave Havdalah. That's like unbelievable. So he can't possibly hold it's all one long day, can he? Yes, he can, because he's just not sure. And then he didn't know whether the takana of, and we're going to get into this beautifully tomorrow, the whole development of Yom Tov Sheni and the calendar and how it ends up being 2 days, even though we know it's not really Yom Tov, and so on. So actually, Rav Asi was spooky misapkele. He wasn't sure about what the takana was. Was the takana to keep 2 days, or was it a continued presence of suffix? So therefore, he went, he was machmir in both directions. So when it came to the question of making Avdolah, he made Avdolah. However, when it came to the question of being matir, a beitza on day two, that was late on day one, he wasn't sure. Now, Rashi says he made this Avdolah. Rashi uses the word, he was mevarech, which is mashma, that he actually made a bracha. And the question is, well, wouldn't it at least be a suffix bracha? If he was misupik, so why did he make the bracha? There's a lot of discussion about, there are those who say that doesn't mean he said Abdullah with a bracha, he just said Baruch HaMavdom in Kedush Shulchol. But there's some fascinating discussions about whether since Mini Raisi was b'chuyev a bracha, he held, because he knows, since he's a baki of B'kviyah D'Yarchas, we'll see, he knows that it's really, today is b'chai of a bracha. Okay, so therefore he said it. The question is, Bizman has said, we don't do that, even though it ends up that the second day of Yom Tov is because of some, we don't paskin like Rav Asi in this. And there's a number of interesting reasons. One possibility is, you can't say Havdalah between 2 days that have exactly the same din. There's nothing that is going to be noticeably different in terms of the malachas you do on day one or the malachas you do on day two. So what are you being mavdil about? Mavdil means mavdil. And you're not doing a mavdil, which I think is a very reasonable kind of approach. The other approach is that we have a general problem with these kind of issues, which we're going to discuss later tomorrow also in the circuit, that anything that could lead people to being mezalzel on Yom Tov Sheni, and of course making Havdalah at the end of Yom Tov Rishon, is a pretty good indication to people, okay, what kind of business is this? We're making Havdalah, now we're pretending it's Yom Tov, so we don't do that type of thing, which could cause zilzel. Now, as far as this machlokas between Rav and Rav Asi, which we said before, that the halacha Rav Papa was saying, that the halacha over there is actually like Rav Lekula, Amar Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Zera claimed that Rabbi Asi is more reasonable, that we should be machmir, because how else do you explain the fact that we know perfectly well today when it is that it's really Rosh Chodesh, right? So we're Yadina Mekiva the Yarcha, and nonetheless, we still keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Now, why do we still keep 2 days of Yom Tov? We're able, now Rashi says, we're able to use math to find out whether the new moon is going to be visible or not. Well, that is a very strange statement. I mean, who cares about that? Don't you still have your dependency on the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, if there is a Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, which is still had in the time of Rav? So what is going on over here? So I'm not going to go into this tonight, but please remind me tomorrow. We should go over it again. But there's a fascinating Chazon Ish that says that in the event that you don't have access to Beis Din, the original mitzvah is to be mechashev, the Yomim Tovim, meaning the Rosh Chodeshim, and then to rely on the Beis Din that is there, that they're going according to the same cheshbon. We'll see, though. I'll talk about it with you tomorrow. Anyway, but we use the Lashon, not that we have a calendar, but that we're Yadina Mekiva the Yarcha, and we still keep 2 days. Now, how do you explain that? The only way to explain that is because it must be one long day. Otherwise, why would we keep something as a suffix if we don't really have a suffix at all? Whereas a bias says just the opposite. I think Rav is much more reasonable that we should be makel, and that it was just a suffix on the second day. And that's because of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah is like this. It used to be that we were able to let people know by using light. That was a little bit ahead of its time, you know, so they got to the light before they got to the radio, you know. But it's straight out of the Lord of the Rings. So all that we needed to do was where we were seeing Misuot, you know, that beautiful scene where the light jumps from one mountain to the other, and as the Mishnah ends, the entire bubble was alight with all of this absolutely beautiful, and it was easy to let people know within minutes when Rosh Chodesh was. And then, track, there came those Kutim and Tzedukim and all of these people again, and just the best thing is up. Wouldn't you know it, they send the Hobbit up there to light the fire the day before and mess everybody up. So it turns out that now we can't use it. So Misha Kilkulu Hakutim, Nitkinu Sheshluchim Yotzim. So then, okay, we come up with this new plan. We're going to have the Pony Express. So now we've got the Shluchim that are going to go as far as they possibly can. And right after Bezdin is Bekadosh Chodesh, and they're off. So now how far do they get? Well, obviously it depends. I mean, is there a Shabbos? Are there two Shabbos in between the Yom Tov? I mean, they're not going to get the same place every month. But the point is, if they get there, so then, fine, then we would do that. But afterwards, but look at the Mashmaut. Mashmaut is, suppose there would be no more Kutim around, so then we wouldn't have to be Mavatel the Masuot, we'd be Mavatel the Kutim, which would be a lot more fun, and then we could go back to our Masuot, right? So Mir Shekirkul HaKutim, Itkinush HaShluchim Yotzim, Mashma, that Ilu Bitul HaKutim of Dinah Chad Yomo, we'd go back to using one Yontif. In which case, if the same thing is true, where those Shluchim come, we also only keep one Yontif. And that's even though last year they didn't come because there were two Shabbatot, this year they managed to make it. And so we don't make any Gezerah, that there's a standing Gezerah that if you've got problems that you have to keep that Gezerah. So you see that they never established this as a Takana. And that means that it goes according to the year, it goes according to the situation. The Rashash points out that that must be the reason that the Mishnah tells us the story. Because, I mean, what do you need the whole story? First they used to do this, and then, because you need to know that this is a perfectly useful way of getting out the word. Okay, so, I mean, why? If we already were metakein, otherwise, nothing should change. Do you see that it was left open to change, which is what Rav is saying. If you know when the time is, you know when the time is. Fine, so it's all a suffix. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. So if it's really all a suffix, so nowadays that we do know when Rosh Chodesh is, so my time I've been a dreyumi. So here it's mashma that we're asking not because of Yadidun Bekviya de Yarcha, which is because of the level of the new understanding of things. Because nowadays we are so smart, that's how some understand it, but simply because we know because we have our calendar. At this point, there was already a calendar, like the Rambam brings the whole story of development. Why, after having a calendar, do we keep 2 days? That's because there was a message sent from Eretz Yisrael after the establishment of the calendar, and it said to them, now listen, you should not, because of this, you should not give up on keeping 2 days Yantar. Because you never know when the Gezerah of the Malchus is going to destroy everything, and they won't allow people to learn Torah, to know anything, and then also the Kukula, if you need to find out when Rosh Chodesh was, so then you won't know. Therefore, keep the minhag. That's why we do it. But it's a minhag based on suffix, not on a takana of Yuma Arucha. It's not one long day. And because of that, we paskin like Rav. And we say, here he went Lekula, and the 2 days are Lekula. The third case. The third case may be Nogea this week. And that would be the Shnei Yomim Tovim Shel Rosh Hashanah. Now Iris paying close attention. What happens to a Beit Sashon Nolda Beyon Tov Rishon of Rosh Hashanah to the second day of Rosh Hashanah? So over there, Rav Shmuel Damar Tarvayu, In the case of Rosh Hashanah, no de bezasur bezeh. Rosh Hashanah is different. It's not like the Shnei Yamim Tovim of the Gaulis, the Tanan. Why do we say that? Because the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says that Berishonah, Hayu Mekablim Edut HaChodesh Kol Hayom. It used to be that you would be in doubt the entire day of Rosh Hashanah until the end of the day. At the end of the day, only then would you find out whether it was Rosh Hashanah, because maybe the Edim would only show up at the very last minute. And once happened that the Edim came so late, because of that, the Levim sang, there's a machlokas actually in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Does that mean that they sang the wrong shir and they didn't know because they didn't know it was Rosh Hashanah? They sang a shira of chol? Or does it mean that they didn't, because they didn't know, so they didn't say shira? Okay, but whatever it was, they made a takana that from now on, we're not going to be mekabel edim after mincha, because mincha is when you bring the korban tamid. So therefore, we would know that after mincha, it's definitely chol. The imbo edim in a mincha v'lamala. So what do? We know that we understand that tomorrow is the real Rosh Hashanah, but in order that people should not be mezalzel the next year and say, oh man, remember what happened last year? We spent the whole day davening and the whole day not doing any malachas, and then at the end of the day, they told us it wasn't Rosh Hashanah. You know what? It's probably going to be that way this year too. So even though they're pretending it's Rosh Hashanah, let's go to the movies. So basically, in order to avoid that kind of situation, so the original takana was, the first day is always Rosh Hashanah, come hell or high water. I don't care if the Edom do show up or they don't show up. The first day is for sure going to be Yom Tov, and the second day is going to be Yom Tov when they come late. So that means both days would be Kodesh. So then that means that the original Takana was not because of a suffix. They actually made a Takana to keep 2 days. So once that Takana was in effect, so then that would be true that it is clearly Yom Ha'aricha, because we said, look, you're going to have to keep it even though it is clearly known.